And we're holding on Samach Aleph Amud Beis by the second Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hamadlikas HaGodish, still continuing on the dinim of the Nezek of fire. If a person burns somebody's stack of grain, and we're going to discuss later on in the Mefoshim, are we talking about that he actually deliberately set out to burn the stack of grain, or are we talking about that he lit a fire in his own property and it spread and burnt it? The Hoyuboy Kalim, and there were Kalim hidden inside the pile of grain, the Doku, and they got burned. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mashalom Masha B'Soichoy, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to pay for what was inside there, because as we've learned before, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're chayev for Tomun, you're chayev for things that are hidden inside something else, and therefore here, there were things hidden inside the pile of grain, therefore you're chayev to pay for them. The Chum say you pay only for the value of a heap of wheat or barley, as the case may be. Meaning, in other words, as we're going to say in the Gemara, what you do is you look at the area, the volume of space that was taken up by those kalim or whatever. You picture it as though it was full of wheat or barley, like the rest of the heap, and then you pay in accordance with that. Because they say you're potter for tamun, as we've discussed before, and again we'll talk about soon what exactly is the scenario that happened over here that the Chum and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing about. Continues the Mishnah, which is this next part of the Mishnah we've learned earlier. If there was a goat tied to the pile of grain, the eved samuchloi, or there was an eved standing near the pile, the nisrafimai, and they were burnt together with it. Chayev, then he's chayev to pay, because in the case of the animal, he's chayev like any other nezek, and we've learned before, we learned a couple of days ago that you have the word oy hakoma in the pasuk about fire, that it means anything that stands, so it includes that he's chayev for animals getting injured or killed by the fire as well. As far as the eved, since the eved wasn't tied up, then there's a Rashi points out there's no kom lebedarabimine, even though you can't make him chayev misa for the killing of the eved, because the eved, not being tied up, could have run away. On the other hand, eved kofu sloy, on the other hand, if you have a slave tied to the pile, or di somochloy, or you have an animal nearby, the nisrafima, and then they were burnt with it, potter, then he would be potter, because once he killed the eved in such a case where the eved was tied up, then kom lebedarabimine, now he's chayev misa for the fact that he killed the eved. Rashi points out, even if they didn't actually give him hasura, the fact is, we say the concept of kom lebedarabimine applies even if what he did was b'shoigig, but if it's something that had it been b'mezid with Eidim v'hasura, would have gotten him misa, then we say kom lebedarabimine, and therefore he the misa, or the potential misa, overrides the tashlumen, therefore he's potter. Now, Rashi also points out with the goat, doesn't at first, Rashi gives two explanations why we're mentioning that the goat was tied there. One is the first one, it doesn't really matter, regardless. I mean, obviously, there's no chiyuv misa for killing a goat, but once we mention a case where the eved is tied up, and we have to mention that again, because if the eved was not tied up, then he could have run away. Then, by the goat, also to keep things parallel, the Mishnah talks about the case where the goat was tied up, but in fact, Rashi's first explanation is that it wouldn't matter whether the goat was tied up or not. Rashi's second explanation is actually it does matter, because a goat may not have das, but after all, it knows to run away from a fire. Rashi refers to, we learned earlier in the Masechta, you can have a case where a person put a coal on a live coal on somebody else's animal and it burnt him and injured or killed him, and then you chayev. The reason is because the animal may not be able to take the coal off. Especially, we had, for example, a case of a day you put it on the back of the animal where it can't easily get it off. But here, the goat could have run away if it wasn't tied up. Therefore, you might in fact be potter for it. Rashi says, "Ikadamri." Some say, and in fact, earlier when we learned this concept earlier in the Masechta, that was the Rashbam brought that explanation in Tosfos. That's what it meant. That it means that if the goat is not tied up, then you potter for the death of the goat either way, because since it's not tied up, it could have run away. And so Rashi had also mentioned over there that usually the reason why we mention an eved near it is because that's a typical kind of thing to do, is we're talking about that a person has his own eved, watches stack of grain to make sure that robbers or animals or whatever don't get to it, and therefore now earlier actually we learned in that sugya in the second parak we were talking about even that we can be talking about the goat belongs to one person and the eved belongs to a different person, and we still say kum lebe d'rabimine if the eved was tied up there and got burnt, because we still say that the fact that he's chayav misa patters him from tashlumin completely, even to somebody else. Now you couldn't easily have that with just the pile of grain and the eved, because you wouldn't usually have Reuven's eved watching Shimon's pile of grain. That's why Tosfos earlier had mentioned that's why it mentions the case of a gdi and an eved. Anyway, that's another din with fire. Continues the Mishnah, getting back to the matter of Tomun, the reason why it stuck this in over here, Tosfos earlier explains the reason is because you could think, why you putter for Tomun, because it's not normal to put things inside a pile of grain. Well, it's not normal to have an eved or a goat tied to a pile of grain either. Maybe you should be putter for one or the other, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that not. So now, getting back to the matter of Tamun, the Mishnah says, "Umoidim chachamim l'Rabbi Yehuda b'madla kasabira." The chachamim do agree with Rabbi Yehuda when a person sets somebody else's house on fire. A bira is really like a large mansion. Shumashalom kol mashe b'soicha. Then he would have to pay for everything that's inside the building. Shekain derech bnei adam l'haniach b'batim, because it's normal for people to put things inside their houses. So therefore, even the Chachamim are going to agree that he's chayev for all those things. There is an explanation. The Chazon Ish gives an explanation that what we mean is the things inside the house, the Chachamim are not even considering Tumun. What we mean is you have, for example, let's say the furniture in the house is not covered by anything. It's just inside the house. Anything that's visible when you're walking around the house is not even considered Tumun according to the Chachamim. What we're dealing with is the case over here. What about things that are hidden inside the house? Then are the Chachamim saying that you're chayev for those as well? Maybe they would say Tomun still applies to those, but only things like that are hidden, that are not visible when you walk into the house. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, machloikas b'soich shaloi. This machloikas about Tomun is where the person makes the fire in his own property, and it went and consumed things in somebody else's property. So as we've learned in the previous Mishnayos, you have a certain amount of space that you have to give around the fire. We have the different opinions of the various Tanoim, how much space you need to give. And here he didn't give that amount of space, and therefore the fire got out of control and damaged somebody else's property. It was negligent of him, but it wasn't that he actually went and literally set a fire on the other guy's property. So now Rabbi Yehuda is being mechayev him for what was burnt, for what was hidden and burnt in the fire. V'rabbanan patri, where's the chachamim going to say he's potter? Avol, but Rav Kahana says, v'madlik b'serch shochaveri, if to begin with he lights the fire on somebody else's property, not even necessarily that he's actually meaning literally to burn down the other guy's house or pile of grain or whatever. We could just mean that he set up a cooking fire, let's say, in somebody else's property without getting permission to do so. So if he does that, then Rav Kahana says everybody would agree that he does have to pay for everything that he for everything that was inside it, because he had no business making a fire there in the first place. But Rava says to Rav Kahana, in that case, if you're going to understand it that way, add a tani sefer, then instead, why is the Mishnah continuing and saying modim chachamim the Rabbi Yehuda, the madlik asabira, the chacham agree with Rabbi Yehuda when he sets the house on fire? Shemashalom kol mashem asoicha. We said he pays for everything inside the house. Shekein derech bnei adam laniach babatim, because normal for people to put things in their houses. If you're going to tell me that. Now, Rashi explains madlika sabira implies that you lit the fire on the other guy's house. You probably committed arson. Well, in that case, and still, what is the Mishnah saying? Only because people put things in their houses normally, then therefore the chachamim are mechayev him, implying that if you had done the same thing with a goddish, with a stack of grain, then you wouldn't have that. So liflig v'lisnim b'dida. So according to what you're saying, the Tana should have distinguished within a pile of grain itself. A medvar mamurim. The Mishnah could have said, when are we talking about that he's potter for tamun according to the chachamim? But madlik b'seich shaloi v'holcha v'ochla b'seich shachaveh. Right? Only if he lit it in his own property and ended up burning things in the other guy's property. Avol madlik b'seich shachaveh. But if he lights it in somebody else's property, then everybody would agree that he has to pay for everything that was inside it. And the fact that the Mishnah doesn't make that distinction seems to imply that the Chachamim are never going to be mechayev him. Are never going to be mechayev him for Tumum. So Tosfos points out that Rava's question on Rav Kahana is really no matter how you look at it. We're going to talk about soon in the Gemara what kind of things are we talking about that were hidden inside the pile of grain that Rabbi Yehuda is Machayev and the Chachamim are Pater. And the Gemara is going to talk about soon. You can have, there's the distinction between things that are normal to hide inside a pile of grain, for example, farm tools. It's normal, for example, the Gemara is going to mention soon moirigin, which are pieces of wood that are used to thresh the grain, and clay bokor, other kinds of equipment that's used together with the animal to thresh, to plow or thresh or whatever, those kinds of things that might be normal to hide inside the pile of grain, as opposed to you have, for example, an arniki, a purse or a wallet, which is not normal to hide inside there at all. So Tosfos teaches out then that Rava is asking on Rav Kahana like this. If you're gonna tell me that the Chachamim are being Machayev, even that the argument between them is only as far as things that are commonly hidden inside a pile of grain, so then Rabbi Yehuda is going to be Mechayev, the Chacham Pater, but then if he lights in somebody else's property, you, Rav Kahana, are saying that even the Chachamim would agree he's Chayev for those tools, well then the Mishnah should have mentioned that distinction. If you're going to tell me that they're arguing even over a wallet of money, even though it's not normal to put such a thing inside a Gaddish, still, why is the Mishnah saying that when he burns it in somebody else's property, then the Chum Magrim, Mashalom Kol Masha B'Soichai, implying that he would even pay for the wallet? So that would imply, in other words, the Chachamim are saying that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are completely agreeing on that point, whereas according to what you're saying, Rav Kahana, it sounds like when he lights it in his own property, then the Chachamim are saying that Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mechayev him for the wallet inside the Gaddish regardless, even though it's not normal to put it there. So then, if you're telling me, though, that there's a difference between his property and somebody else's property, then the Mishnah should have made that distinction. And also, for that matter, Tosfos adds, what do you mean you're saying it's normal because it's normal for people to put things in houses? What do you mean? According to the Chachamim, according to what you're saying, Rav Kahana, the Chum would be Mechayev even for things that it's not normal to put inside there. For example, a wallet inside a stack of grain, because they're, according to you, they're saying that you're Chayev regardless when you put it in when you lit the fire in the other guy's property. So that's Tosfos explains basically. Therefore, that what Rava is saying is that what Rava is saying is no matter how you understand the machlokas between them, Rav Kahana, it doesn't seem to work out. Ella Omar Rava. So rather, Rava says b'tauti pligi. In fact, you have to understand that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing on two points. Right? They are arguing about the case where he lit the fire in his own property and ended up consuming things in the other guy's property. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev atamun ba'esh. Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mechayev you for tamun, and the rabbanon sabri loy mechayev, and the chacham hold that he's going to be potter from tamun. And also, pligi nami b'madlik b'shal chaveri. They're also arguing about the case where he lit it to begin with in the other person's property. Where even there, the Rabbi Yehuda savim shalom kol mashu v'seichay v'afilo arniki. So then, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that you pay for everything that was inside it, even if there was a purse inside the pile of grain, and it's not at all normal to put a purse in there. Nevertheless, he'd be chayiv for that because he lit it in somebody's property, in the other person's property. But Rabbanan Savri, whereas the Chachamim would hold, no, in that case, when he lit it in the other guy's property, Kalim should doubt them, Lahatmin Bagodish. When you have Kalim that are normally hidden inside a pile of grain, you're going Merigin, for example, Merigin, Merigin are boards. Rashi describes them over here, that they have holes in them. In other places, Rashi describes that they have grooves. Rashi also has, they have, also describes, they have pegs or various other things stuck into them. The point is, you use them when you're threshing, you have them, you weight them down with your own weight or with something else or whatever, and you have them pressed down onto the grain as it's being threshed, and that way it causes the unevennesses in it, cause the shells of the grain to crack open so that you can thresh them and you can remove the shells and get clean grain. Those kinds of things are called merigin, or kleibocher, as other kinds of utensils, other kinds of equipment that's used together with the animals. So now the chachamim are going to hold, when you set the fire on somebody else's property, then and you have inside a goddish, those things like merigin or kleibocher, huda mashalim. Those would be the kind of things that you pay for. Kalim shein darkan lahakmin bagodish. On the other hand, the kind of kalim that it's not normal to put inside a pile of grain. For example, a wallet. Loy mashalim. Then the chum say, even in that case, even though you lit it in the other guy's property, you would in fact be potter on that. So they're arguing in both cases, whether he lit b'seich shaloi and it spread, or whether he lit b'seich shal chaveroi. Either way, the Chachamim are drawing a distinction and saying that in the first case, they're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is Machayev for Tomun and the Chum are pattering. And in the second case, the Chum say certain kinds of Tomun you're going to be Chayev for, but certain kinds you're not. Now, Tosfos goes on to discuss over here that the point is, in other words, so now, according to Rava, we understand why the Mishnah mentioned the case of a house, because the only way the Chachamim will find that he's chayev for a purse is going to be it was inside the house. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that now on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, we're still going to say, is always going to be mechayev for the purse, even if hidlik b'seich shaloi. So in other words, we can summarize so far according to Rava as follows. When he lit in his own property and the fire spread, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's chayev for everything, any kind of tamun. According to the Chachamim, he's potter for any kind of tamun. And the second one would be if he lit in the other guy's property, the Chachamim are going to be, then Rabbi Yehuda will still be mechayev him for any kind of tamun. He won't make that distinction. The Chachamim will say only the kind of tamun which is normal to have in there is he chayav for example, merigin or clay bucker inside a pile of grain or a purse inside a house. So in other words, in short, Tosfos says that Rabbi Yehuda is never saying there's a patur of tamun. The Chachamim are saying, look, so the pasuk says ki seitzei esh, which implies the fire went out on its own. In other words, we're talking about that he lit the fire in his own property, and just he didn't make sure to make enough of a fire break, and therefore it spread. So it was careless of him. But when he was madlik b'seich shal chaveroi, then they say, as far as things that normal to hide, then you don't have the patur from the pasuk, therefore you machayev him. Things that are not normal to hide, then listen, how can a person expect? How would a person imagine, for example, that there's going to be a purse inside a pile of grain where you should be machayev him for that? That's how Tosfos learns. Now, the Ramban brings it has a big problem with that. The Ramban has a long discussion in Milchomis Hashem on the Rif on this sugya. He says, I mean, every other kind of hezek, you don't have a tour for that. I didn't expect that this thing was going to be there. We're going to talk about soon in the Gemara. You can have a case where, for example, you gave one kind of thing to a person to watch and they thought it was a different kind of thing and they were pashaya with it. Then we can talk about, did they know what it was or not? What level of responsibility did they take for it? But the Ramban says, after all, you don't find this kind of concept that we should say that I didn't know this thing was inside something else. Imagine, for example, you have, let's say, with the other kind of nizakin, can you say, for example, let's say somebody tripped over something you left in Rosh Hashanah, would you be able to say, well, I didn't know that in your pockets you were carrying something that was going to break? No. So why should it why should it be any different over here? So the Ramban explains that actually he gives now the Gemara is going to talk about soon about this about the following point in connection with our Mishnah. The Gemara is going to talk about the concept of takonas nigzol. Namely, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, you have a case where a person has been robbed and the Edim saw that there was a robbery, so now we can take the robber to Beis Din and make him pay, but they don't know how much was stolen. Or for example, let's say a person's house was broken into and things were stolen and then nobody knows exactly how much. So you have a concept called takonas nigzol. Under certain circumstances, under many circumstances, the chachamim will allow the nigzol to swear in Beis Din to what it was that was stolen from him, and then the ganav or gazlan will pay in accordance with that. So in other words, it doesn't just have to be that we have Edim that actually saw the ganav taking this item or that item. We have a concept that sometimes we can have that the owner can swear that such and such was stolen from me, even though we don't have Edim that exact item was stolen. That kind of thing is called takonas nigzol. That whole concept of dirabanan, the whole concept of chlal, that a person should be able to swear and collect money, is only dirabanan. Daraisa, swearing is only in order to patur you from paying. Anyway, the point is, So the Ramban explains that here, when we're explaining the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, it basically, he says, it boils down to this kind of case of takonas nigzol or not. So say, for example, so Reuven had started a fire, and now Shimon is saying, not only you burnt my pile of grain, but inside it, there were my regular clay bucket, or inside it, there was my wallet. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that we believe him, even in whether this is the kind of thing that people normally put in there or not, and the Chachamim are going to say that not. So the Ramban would say, if there were Edim, that there was in fact a wallet in there and it got burnt, then yeah, everybody's going to agree, even the Chachamim would agree that he has to pay. Nothing to do with, like Tosfos is saying, that the one who set the fire can say, I didn't know. Rather, we would say, it doesn't matter whether you knew, you're still chayev. What it is you're only when we're talking about when we have to resort to the takonas nigzol, then that's when you'd have the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Then you have, there are other opinions about it as well. The Rashba learns that the distinction would be, was it just that he was careless and made the fire in a way that made it possible for it to spread under normal circumstances, or are we talking about where he literally actually committed arson and literally went and lit it via dying? So the Chacham will hold. In the first case, you can't be mechayev him for certain kinds of trouble. Now Tosfos is saying again that regardless, you're always going to be potter because you didn't know it was there. So Tosfos holds you're going to be potter for tamun according to the Chachamim, no matter what, because when you lit it in your own property, because you didn't know that it was going to be there. The Marshal points out a distinction, a reason why to draw that distinction is similar to the distinction that Ashba makes between where he's deliberately going to burn the other guy's property versus where he was just careless with his fire. The Gemara continues, Tanan Rabbanan, Hamadlikas HaGodish, if a person sets somebody's stack of grain on fire, Vahoyu Bekalim Bedoku, and there were Kalim in it and they burned, Rabbi Yehuda Ayim Mashalim Kol Masha Vahoyu Besechai, so like in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to pay for everything that was inside it. You only have to pay for the value of a stack of grain, of wheat or barley, as the case may be. Here is the detail that the Braisa mentioned, the first detail that the Braisa mentioned that doesn't clearly say in the Mishnah. You just consider the area where those kalim were as though it was full of more grain. Continues the Braisa, Bamed Vermamurim. When is that talking about? Bamadlik Basek Shaloi, when he lit the fire in his own property, Bahocha Bedoka Basek Shachabere, and it ended up burning in the other guy's property. Avo Madlik Basek Shachabere, but if he lit it in somebody else's property, Divrei Hakol Mashalim Kol Mashahoy Basekhoi, then everybody would agree that he's paying for everything in it. Now, Tosfos takes out these words. The reason why the words divrei hakol are in parenthesis, Marshall takes them out, and that's based on Tosfos explains that in fact it's not necessarily divrei hakol. When he lit the fire in somebody else's property, we're not always saying that we're not always saying that he's going to be paying for everything. After all, even according to the Chachamim, according to Tosfos, regardless, you're never paying for a wallet inside a pile of grain, because we said, even if you lit it in the other guy's property, which means that you actually committed arson, nevertheless, you can still say, I didn't know there was going to be a pile of grain there. So this Divrei Hakol would work nicely according to the other explanations, according to the Ramban, and according to the other explanations, but not according to Tosfos. Rashi, on the other hand, says, no, what it means is, we're talking about kalim that's normal to hide inside a pile of grain, and we just established that the Chachamim agree that when he lit the fire in the other guy's property, he is chayav for such things. Anyway, the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with the Chachamim in a case where one person lends the other a place to make a pile of grain, the Higdish Vihitmin, and he made the pile, and then he hid something inside it, She'en Mashalom, Elad Me Godish Bilvad, so now the owner of the property would be paying only for the value of the stack of grain. So in other words, what happened is, Reuven has a piece of property, he gives Shimon permission to go make his pile of grain over there. Shimon made the pile of grain, but he also hid Caleb inside there. Now, later on, at some point, Reuven lit a fire to cook or to whatever it is, and ended up sweating and burning the pile of grain with whatever was inside. Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that he is potter for Tamun in that case. Because basically what we're saying is, therefore, so now it's not a matter of the nezek of fire. It's more a matter, and the fact is the nezek, of course, was caused by the fire, but here it's more of a consideration that he didn't do proper shmira. Well, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he can say, I didn't know there was anything inside there that I should do a higher level of shmira. So even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, therefore, that he's potter for what was inside there. What about, continues the Braisa, Lahagdish Chitin Vehigdish Sa'urin? What if Reuven lends him the spot and says, you can make a pile of your wheat and Vehigdish Sa'urin? And Shimon decided instead, I may as well use the place and I'll use it for a pile of barley. Or the other way around, Sa'urin Vehigdish Chitin, Reuven told him, you can use a place for barley, and he made a pile of wheat. Or chitin v'chipan b'sa'urin. What if he told him you can pile wheat over there, and he did. He made a pile of wheat, but he covered it with barley. Or sa'urin v'chipan b'chitin, or the other way around. He made a pile of barley and covered the outside of the pile with wheat. In all those cases, the Braisa says she'ena m'shalom elad me sa'urin b'vad. In all those cases, he's only going to pay for the value of barley, because basically what it comes down to is, In the case where it was barley, then of course he's only chayav for that. Even in the case where it was wheat, or where it was mostly wheat, and wheat is more valuable than barley, nevertheless, the owner of the property, Reuven, can say, "I didn't know that you're going to I didn't know that you're going to put this over there, and therefore I didn't do the shmirah. In other words, like this. Again, we're not being mechayev him for actually going and setting the stack of grain on fire. He didn't actually go and set it via dayim. He just went and made a fire in his own property, elsewhere on his own property, and it spread. So it was carelessness of him. But he can say, I didn't know to be so careful with it, as opposed to. So I didn't know to be so careful with it. I thought there was only barley over here, and therefore all I should be chayav for is barley. And all the, or even in the case where there's wheat over there, nevertheless he's but it's covered with barley, or barley and covered barley. It was covered with wheat. Either way, he can say that. So basically the damage was only barley. So no matter how you look at it, either the damage was only or mostly barley, or it was wheat. But he can say, I didn't know there was wheat there, and therefore you can't be mechayev him on the grounds of not being careful, because he can say there's a different degree of care that you take with wheat, which is worth more, versus barley, which is basically just used for animal food, and therefore I didn't know to take that extra care. So Tosfos stresses, we are talking about where he lit the fire on his own property and it spread. If he had lit the fire, if he had actually lit the fire and burnt the other guy's pile of grain, we wouldn't say that, because then it's not a matter of then it's not a matter of being careless. Then it's a matter of that he actually went and lit the fire. That he actually went and lit the fire, biadayim, mazik biadayim, and there you can't pater him on the grounds of Talmud, or on the grounds of I didn't know what was there. So therefore the Braisa is saying again that in all those cases he would be he would be chayev only for the barley. And the Maharam points out a distinction. After all, the difference is that when you're the Gemara is going to analogize it now, let's say, to giving somebody a coin, and they don't know what kind of coin it is, and they were careless with it. So here the guy actually sees what grain is there. So if he lit the fire biadayim on that pile of grain, you can be mechayiv him for whatever kind of grain it was, but only when he made the fire in his own property and he spread, where there will only be mechayiv him for being careless, then therefore we can't be mechayiv him if he didn't know what it was. So the Gemara says in the same vein, Omer Rava, Hanoisin Dinner Zahav Leisha, a man gives a gold dinner to a woman, Va'omalahi Zahari Boy, and he tells her, be careful with it, Shokesifu, it's of silver. Now let's say we're talking about evidently where she doesn't know what the actual coin is. He gives it to her, let's say, inside a bag or something, and she can't see whether it's gold or silver, but it's actually gold, but he told her that it's silver. Hizikatu. So now if she goes and damages the coin via dayim, mishalemis dinar zahav, then she's going to have to pay the value of a gold dinar. Mishum de omar la, and the reason is because the man can tell her, my havalach gabe da'azikte, what reason did you have, what excuse did you have to go and damage it? So therefore, so you may have thought it's worth less, but nevertheless, you had no business damaging it in the first place. Rashi gives examples. Let's say she burnt it or she threw it into the yam. So the difference is, again, when Reuven gave Shimon a space to make his pile of grain, he wasn't mazik biadayim, he was just preshea. He was careless by allowing the fire to spread, but he didn't actually go and directly be mazik the pile of grain. As opposed to, in this case, the woman was directly mazik the coin, then you can tell her in that case, you had no business being mazik it in the first place, so therefore you're going to be on the hook for the full value of it. You didn't know what it was worth. Doesn't matter. The fact is you had no business throwing it into the sea or whatever in the first place. On the other hand, Rava continues, Pasha boy, but if she was careless with it, she didn't watch it the way a shomer should watch it, mishalemis shokesef, then she's required to pay only for the value of a silver. The omrele, because she has a right to say, Nitirusa de Kaspa Kabili Alai, I only accepted on myself the degree of care that you would take with a silver coin Nitirosa de Dava lo kabilia lai. I never accepted to begin with the responsibility of watching a gold coin. You told me it was only a silver coin. Where b'chlal, by the way, you should realize the Gemara mentions in some places the ratio in value between silver and gold in those days was approximately 1 to 12, and the gold coin, the silver coins, the gold coins rather, were generally thicker than the silver coins. So it comes out, for example, a silver dinner is worth 1/25th of a gold dinner. So she's saying, basically, if I'd known that it was a gold coin, I would have been 25 times as careful with it. So therefore, see, now you can't be mechayev her for the value of the gold coin, because she has a right to say, as far as you're only being mechayev me because I was careless with it. So fine, as a shomer, I'm chayev to pay for carelessness, but not for something which I didn't even know what it was. So therefore, Rava says that's the distinction. And omelet of Mordechai, that of Ashi, Atin with the Rav Masnisula. So the Mordechai points out to Rav Ashi, you and your yeshiva are learning this din in the name of Rav. Anan, we and our yeshiva Masnisa Pshitalon, we proved it from the brisa that we just quoted before about the wheat and the barley. That we had the case. One of the cases was chitin b'chipan b'sa'urin, sa'urin b'chipan b'chitin, where we said if he gave him a space to make a pile of wheat, and instead he made a pile of wheat, but then he covered the pile on the outside with barley, or the other way around. He told him he can put barley over there, and he told him that he can put he told him he can put wheat over there, sa'urin. Or the other way around, actually. He says, Sa'urin, he says, you can put barley over there. V'chipon b'chitin. And he made a pile of barley, but he covered it with wheat. Either way, in a mashalim, elagmei sa'urin bavad, he's paying only the value of barley. Now, why is that? He told him to begin with that he can put wheat over there, and now it is a pile of wheat. Why shouldn't he be chayav for wheat? The reason is, Rav Mordechai says, Alma omerlei nitirusa desari kabila yolai, because he can say, when I saw that you made a pile of barley over there, and as far as I knew, it was all barley, because I didn't realize you have wheat inside the pile, then I figured I'm only taking on the responsibility of watching and preventing damage to a pile of barley. But not of wheat. Hochanami, the same thing over here. Omrelei, the woman can say to the man, I never accepted the degree of responsibility that you would need for a gold coin. And therefore, so the Mordechai is saying to Rav Ashi, you don't even need Rava to tell you that din. We could deduce that from the braisa that we just said. Okay. The Gemara continues. Omer Rav, Shamus Milsil Rabbi Yehuda. As far as Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, as far as Tomun in our Mishnah, Rav says, I heard something regarding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, but I don't know what it is. Omar Shmuel, so Shmuel says, Velo Yoda Abba, Velo Yoda Abba my Shmuele, really does Abba, which is Rav's personal name, so Rav and Shmuel were chaverim, so he calls him by his personal name. So does he really not know what he heard? I'll tell you what the halacha is that he heard. Rabbi Yehuda, the mechayev on this case, tamun ba'esh, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you chayev for tamun when it comes to fire, also takonas nigzol be'ishoy, then we have the concept of takonas nigzol that we touched on before according to the Ramban. Now the guy had his property was damaged, and he's claiming that there was something over there that was tamun. And the point is, Tosfos says, we're talking about even, for example, where he says that my wallet was inside the pile of grain, and he's claiming that it was burnt, and therefore he wants to be mechayev of the guy, not just for the value of the stack of grain, but also for the wallet inside. So Rabbi Yehuda would say that, yes, also takonas nigzol b'ishoy. The Chachamim do say that we do apply takonas nigzol in that case, namely, in other words, that he can make claims of what it was that was burnt, and he's going to have to swear in Beis Din. So this is, again, this is one of those cases, derabbanan, of nishba v'noto, where you can swear and collect on that basis. But yes, so Rabbi Yehuda would apply that to Tamun. Now, we said in the Mishnah, the Chachamim agree that there are cases of Tamun that you chayav for. So lahalacha, you would have this point as well. So if a person's house burnt down, then yes, there is a takonas nigzol in that, where he can claim things that were inside his house. To what extent can he claim that? We're going to see further down on the Amud. But first, Boya Meimar, first Amemar digresses a minute to ask a different question, a related question. Also, takonas nigzo b'moser oiloi. What about when it comes to a moser or a moiser, that is? So we're going to talk about extensively at the end of the Masechta. You have a case where one yid goes and informs on another yid to the government and has his property confiscated by the government. So we're going to talk about that's a kind of hezek. And we're going to talk about at the end of the Masechta many dinim about that. We are mechayev him to pay for whatever it is that the government took. So the question is there takonas nigzal in that case as well? Oiloi. Now, the Gemara points out, it depends. We have to first of all figure out. Now, you do have the opinion that we're going to learn later in the Masechta in that sugya that we don't make a person chayev for dina de gaumi, which is things that were indirect hezek. Then loyti boiloch. Then there's no question de mesiris nami loy dainina. Then, of course, when it comes to Mesirus, Mechlal, that's also only Garmi. Because what do we mean by Mesirus? We mean the Gemara is going to discuss over there. So let's say, for example, the government needs hay for their horses, let's say, for the army horses. So Reuven goes over to a government official and tells him, you should know Shimon has a pile of hay. You should go take some of it. Now he's only indirectly causing a hezek. Shimon ends up losing out because soldiers come and confiscate his hay. But the fact is, Reuven was not directly mazik Shimon's property. It was more of an indirect kind of thing. If we say that a person is potter for that kind of thing, for garmi, then of course there's no question that you can't be mechayev him even for the actual hay that Shimon lost. Certainly, then Shimon wouldn't have the ability to claim takonas nigzol and to say, you know what, inside one of those bales of hay was my wallet. Ela kiti boiloch. The question would be a little bit of under omer dainin and dinin de garmi. What about according to the opinion that says that we do judge dina degami, which is in fact the halacha, that we do say that dina degami, there are certain kinds of indirect hezek for which a person is chayev. You have, we've touched on before, the whole concept of you have groma, which everybody agrees is potter, and garmi, which is chayev. So there's a huge discussion among Rishonim about the distinctions between them. Among them are, does it mean, are we talking about that the Mazik himself did it, or that property of his, or somebody else did it? In this case, for example, the Moser himself is telling the government to take that hay, and they're the ones who take it. So that would be that might be called Grumma, or it might be called Garmi. You could have a distinction. Is the hezek going to be definite? Is it definite that because of what you did, there's going to be a hezek? Here there is, because he told them there's hay over there, they're definitely going to come to take it, as opposed to other cases where it's less certain that it's actually going to happen. You have the difference. Another difference is the object itself actually getting damaged or destroyed or not? Where here it is, because again, the government takes it and it's as good as gone. So you have a lot of different explanations among Rishonim. We'll talk about them a little further in the Masechta Bez Hashem when we talk in more detail about Dinin Degarmi. So there's a lot of different opinions what the distinction between them is. There's even an opinion that there is no actual distinction, that it's just there are different opinions whether you're Chayev or Potter. Anyway, so now, according to the opinion that Dinin and Dinin Degarmi also takonas nigzol b'moser, the question is there a takonas nigzol when it comes to a moiser, in the sense the mishtab of a shakil, that we're going to allow this person who was masered on to swear that there was something else inside what was taken, and that you should be able to collect oiloi or not? And the Gemara says teku, we can't be sure about that. So what's the actual halacha? Tosfos goes back and forth on various possibilities. Tosfos brings from the Rif. If there were edim that the guy was moiser, then we're talking about over here where there were edim that he was moiser, and we're going to go lakula, and we're going to say therefore we can't force the moiser to pay for everything that the guy is claiming, for what the guy is claiming that was tumun over there. All you can make him pay for is what the Adam saw, namely that there was namely that they took his hay, for example. On the other hand, then he brings from a high going that the Nigzol is going to be entitled to half, and the Reed disagrees that. How can you say because of Teku we should have to pay half? Tosfos gives it, Rabbi Natam and Tosfos gives a different explanation that what we're talking about over here, we're not talking about over here where there were edim or not. We're talking about the moiser is contradicting and saying, you're telling me that I took that I told the government to take something of yours, and there was more than what to, and there was more than what's there on the surface. I'm contradicting you on that. And on the other hand, if the Moses says, you know what, I don't really know, then in fact he would have to. Then in fact he would have to pay, and we wouldn't say take over there. On the other hand, Tosfos says, the Re says, maybe not. Okay. Getting back to the case, so now similarly in similar cases of Tomon, as far as damages, the Gemara says, "Ahu gavra debotash bekaspas adchavre." A person, it happened that a person kicked a box that contains money that belonged to somebody else. Kasef does from the word kesef, so it means a box where you keep money. In modern Hebrew, the word kasefet means a safe. But whatever the case, he kicked it. And caused it to fall into the water or whatever it is. He caused it to fall into the river, and now it's lost. So the owner of the safe comes to Beis Din, and he says, I had such and such things inside that box. So now Rav Ashi is sitting and trying to figure it out. What would be the din in this case? Do we say, again, do we have Takonas Nigzol, and he can claim what kind of things were inside the box or inside the safe, and he's going to be entitled to collect? So Ravina asked Rav Acha Brei de Rava, who was one of the senior Chachamim in Rav Ashi's Beis Medrash, or Rav Acha Brei de Rava asked directly to Rav Ashi, Lav Hainu Masnissin, isn't that exactly the case of our Mishnah? Ditnan, Umodim Chachamim Yehuda B'madlik Zabira. We said the Chachamim do agree with Yehuda when the fire burnt a house. Shemashalim Kol Masha B'Soichai, and we discussed before whether it meant that he actually directly burnt the house, committed arson, or whether we were talking about that he lit the fire in his property and it spread. But whatever the case, definitely when he lit it on the house, we said the Chachamim agree, Shemashalim Kol Masha B'Soichai, he has to pay for everything inside the house, Shekein Derech B'nei Adam La'aniach B'batim, because normal for people to put things inside their houses. That would mean, in other words, that we apply Takonas Nigzol over there. Well then, so the same way over here, we should say Takonas Nigzol, and he should be able to claim some whatever it is that's reasonable to put inside a safe. Omalei, so Rav Ashi answers him, Id katoin zuzi, sure, if the guy was claiming that he put money in there, hochinami, then sure, I agree. You could learn that from the Mishnah, and I'd have no problem. I'd have no question about that. The question is rather, hocha katoin magunisa. The difference is, in this case, the guy is claiming that he had jewels in there. So the question would be, mi manchi inchi magunisa bekasafta oloi, is it normal for people to put jewels like that inside a safe, or do they maybe put it someplace else? Maybe they bury it in the ground or something. So again the answer is teku, and therefore we can't be sure what we would do. Now Tosfos says the case would be, even where there were Aiden, that there was at one point, that there were in one point jewels in there, still, Tosfos following their shitta before, that when it comes to Tomun, the Chachamim can say, look, I didn't know this thing was in there. Then therefore, so Tosfos explains, we'd be talking about over here, even there were Aiden, that there was something, that was inside the safe, nevertheless, he'd still have the right to claim that I didn't know that that was in the safe, and if I had known, I would have been more careful with it, and I wouldn't have kicked it. On the other hand, it is more normal to put jewels inside a safe more than it is to put a wallet inside a pile of grain, like we talked about before. And the difference is also, Tosfos says, in the case where we had before, where the guy gave the woman a gold dinner and told her it's silver, the difference is she might have, even though she didn't know what it was, she should have realized, you know what, it might be gold, it might be silver. Here we can say over here he could say, I had no way of knowing that there would be jewels inside there, that I should be on the hook for having to pay for jewels. Now, Tosfos says, we're not talking about Takonas Nigzol. We're not talking about whether the owner of the safe can swear that there were jewels in there and make the other guy pay. Because then that has nothing really to do with our Mishnah. Rather, what we mean is, Tosfos is saying, So again, here we're talking about that there were edim, that there was a jewel inside, but can we say, can the person say, I didn't know that there was, that I should have to be then more careful to not kick that into the water, and therefore we can patter him again. This is Tosfos following their shitta before, that in the case with a pile of grain, with a wallet inside, he would have the right to say that, he would have the right to say that I didn't know that there was a wallet inside there. Or again, maybe this is different because maybe it is more normal to put jewels inside a safe than it is to put a wallet inside a pile of grain. So that was Rav Ashi's. So that was Rav Ashi's suffix. And again, we're saying. Tape. Okay. What about, continues the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yemer Rav Ashi, Toin Kosa de Kaspa Bebira. What happens if, so now you have the case where the person's house was burnt down and he's claiming that there was a silver cup in there, which is worth a lot of money. My, can, what is the din? Can we be Mechayev, the one who set the fire, to pay for that? Omalei, so Rav Ashi tells him, Chazina, well, we have to look at the situation. E inish omid hu. If he's a rich person, omid literally means, it actually says in Malashan omid, an estimate. This is the kind of person where we can estimate, we can evaluate based on what we know of his lifestyle, that he's likely to have silver kalim in his house. So if he's like that, inami, or another possibility, Inish Mehemnahu, if we know that he's a trustworthy person, Demaskadi Inshigabe, that other people might be maskid precious things like that by him. So then, yes, there's a high likelihood that there, that what he's saying is true, that there was, in fact, a silver cup in there. So then, Mishtaba Bashakil, then he can swear and he can collect on that basis, the Eloi, but if not, Lav Kokamine, then no, we don't believe him to say that there was a silver cup in there and we can't accept such a claim. So now having mentioned Takonas Nigzol, so now the Gemara is going to digress a little bit to talk about a related concept as far as Gazlan and Chamsan. Now Tosfos points out that Minat Torah there's no difference. Chomas is often used and the Torah as a synonym for Gezel. Now we have Hamas is certainly guilty of gezel and a lot worse. But anyway, the point is in Lashon Torah, the word chamas means the same thing as gezel. But in Lashon Chachamim, they mean somewhat different. So now the Gemara is going to discuss that point. And the point is, the Pnei Yeshua says the reason why this comes in over here is because having talked about Takonas Nigzol, we're going to discuss whether the same thing is true as far as a chamsa. So omelet of Ada, Breder of Ibi, Lord of Ashi, Ma ben Gazlan and Chamsan. What is the actual difference between a Gazlan and a Chamsan? Omelet, so Rav Ashi explains, Chamsan Yohiv Dami, Gazlan lo Yohiv Dami. The difference is a Chamsan is one who gives money for what he's taking. So he forces the other guy to sell, but he does pay for it. A Gazlan forces the other guy to give it and does not pay any. Omalei, so Rav Ada says, Yohiv Domi, if the guy pays, Chamsan, Torisle, how can you call him a Chamsan? Va'omer Rav Huna, Talua v'zabin, Zvini, Zvini. Didn't Rav Huna say that if a person was that if a person was hung up on a tree, somebody is pressuring him to sell something, and he does go and sell it, then it is a valid sale, la halacha. So how can you call him a Chamsan because of that? And the answer is loikasha hod amar roitzani hod amar roitzani. The difference is Rav Huna's case is talking about where afterwards he says, you know what, fine, I'm okay with the sale. I'm pleased with what I did. After I didn't want to sell in the first place, they pressured me. They even hung me up on a tree. But then in the end, I sold. And you know what, I'm happy that I did that. Then Rav Huna's saying that's a valid sale. But here, Rav Ashi is talking about where even afterwards he's saying, I didn't really want to sell it. Fine, at least the guy gave me money. At least I'm pleased with that, but I didn't want to sell it in the first place. So then therefore, so such a person is called a chamsan. So in fact, he's over. Now you have, there's two isurim in the Torah. Lo yisis aveh, you're not allowed to even think of desiring and trying to get somebody else's property. And then you have lo yisach mod, which is when you actually carry out plans to do that, for example, by pressuring and pleading with the guy to sell it. We're therefore, so in the end, that's the issue of Lo Yisach Mod. Here the guy is going beyond Lo Yisach Mod and is actually forcing the other guy to sell it. So now if the other guy doesn't says, I never wanted to sell it, even after that, then Rav Ashi is saying that's the definition of a Chamsan. One point of it would be, in other words, Tosfos points out, it means that a chamsa, a gazlan, is possible daraisa to give eidos, a chamsa would be possible drabba. Mishnah says, continuing with the dinim of fire, gets sheyotze mitachas a patish, if a spark, if a, you have a blacksmith is hammering with his hammer on the anvil, and a spark flies out, the hizik, and it causes damage, chayev, so then he's chayev for the damages that were caused by that spark. Now earlier in the Masechta, we learned this point, because when we were dealing with the whole thing of Isha Mishum Chitzav, Isha Mishum Mamonai, then we discussed this point. And Tosfos pointed out that even if he doesn't care to keep ownership of the spark, nevertheless, whether you say Isha Mishum Chitze or Isha Mishum Mamonai, nevertheless, it after all, you chayev if you use somebody else's fire or a hefker fire to burn somebody else's thing, so that would be the case over here. Okay, then there's also there's some discussion about do we mean that the spark caused damage right there as it was flying, or do we mean that it landed someplace and only then caused the damage? And there's a discussion among Rishonim about the ins and outs of that. Do we say that it's a chiyuv of fire, or do we say that it's a chiyuv of mazik biyadayim, that he's considered that he caused damage with his actual hands because it flew out directly from him banging. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Gomel shahayaton pishdan. This we also learned earlier. You have a case where a camel is carrying a load of flax, but over b'shosarabim, and it's walking through b'shosarabim. The nichnas pishdan l'seichachanus, and the flax goes into the store because it's such a large load of flax that, as it's passing by the door of the store, some of it sticks in. The doku b'ner shalchemini. The flax catches fire from the storekeeper's lamp. The hidlaka sabira, and that caused the whole building to burn down. Baal gomel chayev, then the owner of the camel is chayev because it was his carelessness in overloading the animal in the first place, to the extent where the flax would go inside like that. We talked about over there in that sugya of isha mishum chitzav and isha mishum mamonai. If you say like Rish Lakish that the chiyuv of esh is only mishum mamonai, here the fire wasn't his mamon, so why are we being mechayev? And the Gemara had explained over there, according to Rish Lakish, we'd have to be talking about that first of all that the camel is walking by and literally lighting each piece of the building on fire, rather than just that it started in one place and spread. And furthermore, the Gemara says it would have to be that to begin with, why did the camel stop? Was because it stopped to urinate and the owner couldn't move it. And meanwhile things started going on fire. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, if the storekeeper left his candle outside, then the storekeeper is chayev because he shouldn't have put his candle outside. Rabbi Yehuda says if it was a Chanukah lamp, then he would be potter because he has a mitzvah to put it outside because of Pirsumei Nisa. Whereas we learned over there, the Chachamim say, sure, he has a mitzvah to put it outside, but he should sit there and watch it to make sure nothing gets caught on fire by it. We talked about there on Daf Beis. We talked about an explanation that Rebbe gives about a deeper explanation of this machloikas. That so you have like this the candle burn, the flax going into the store and getting burnt represents a person who allows his gashmius, the flax representing the gashmius of the world, to overwhelm everything else, and therefore he's chayev if then it causes damage. On the other hand, we're saying if the fire was outside, meaning that on the other hand, the person there can be that a person has such a fire of devotion to Hashem, and that causes him to be careless with what he does, then he can be chayev because he still has to keep his avoda and his devotion to Hashem within bounds that they won't cause damage. Rabbi Yehuda holds B'ner Chanukah is potter because he's saying the kind of Mesiras Nefesh that it took for the Ness of Chanukah, you can't hold a person responsible if that goes a little bit beyond bounds. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, even that kind of thing, he has to sit and watch, even he's having that outpouring of Mesiras Nefesh, he still has to be careful that it doesn't damage the world at large. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Ravina Mashmei de Rabba, Shma Mina Mid Rabbi Huda. From what Rabbi Huda is saying, that if the Ner Chanukah was outdoors, your potter, you can learn from that. Shma Mina Mid Rabbi Huda, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah La Nicha Basech Asara. The proper way of doing the mitzvah of the Ner Chanukah is to put it within 10 tefachim of the ground. If you were going to tell me that it can be above 10 tefachim from the ground, even lahatchila, amai omer Rabbi Yehuda ner Chanukah potter, then why would Rabbi Yehuda would say you potter by a ner Chanukah leimalei? According to Rabbi Yehuda, why wouldn't the owner of the camel be able to say back to the one who put the candle over there to the storekeeper? Fine, it's a Chanukah candle, and you have to have it outdoors because there's so many. You should have put it higher up, that it would be high enough that a camel on its rider wouldn't encounter it. The fact that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the camel driver doesn't have that excuse shows that because the storekeeper can tell him, look, I wanted to do the mitzvah in the best possible way, and the best possible way is to have it within 10 tefachim of the ground. To elav shmamina mitzvah la nicha b'sech hasara. Doesn't that show, therefore, that the mitzvah is to put it within 10 tefachim? And the Gemara says, Amri, they answer back, lo, that's not necessarily a proof. You could even say it's perfectly fine lachatchila to put the menorah above 10 tefachim. My amriti boiloch la'anucha l'maylam agomu v'roichvay. You're going to say that the camel driver can say you should have put it higher up in that case. No, you could say, give it to a mitzvah ka'osik, since after all, he is involved in doing a mitzvah, kula haylai at shachur rabbanon, we can say maybe the chachamim did not want to be matriach him to that extent, to have to climb up high in order to put it, and therefore they allowed him to put it lower. So not necessarily are we saying that, so maybe l'chatchila, he could have even put it higher than 10 tefachim, but whether he could say, you know what, I didn't want to go to that tircha, and the chachamim would approve of that, and say, you know what, that's a valid point, because you're doing a mitzvah, after all, we don't have to be matriach you to that extent. So the only machlokas would be, Rabbi Yehuda says, that that's it, he's potter at that point, whereas the chachamim say you should still be sitting and watching. L'maisa, the poskim do paskin, many of the poskim do paskin, that in fact, nevertheless, Ravina's point is still valid, and that the menorah lachatchila should be put within 10 tefachim. And that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, although there are the Rif and the Rambam don't mention that halacha. So according to them, the implication is that that the Gemara's rejection is a valid rejection, and you can put the menorah at any height you want. In Shulchan Aruch, it's brought lachatchila, you should put it within 10 tefachim of the ground, but at least above 3 tefachim. And then, of course, and you have the maximum height that the Gemara is going to mention now. There's a vort on it that says, usually we say, lo yoda shechina, lo matam asara, usually the shechina does not descend below 10 tefachim, but here by the Ner Chanukah is an exception that the shechina wants to be close to us, lo matam asara tefachim. So the Gemara finishes off. Omer of Kahana, Dorosh Rav Nosson Baman Yumi, Mishmei de Rav Tanchum. Rav Nosson Baman Yumi gave a drosha in the name of Rav Tanchum, and he announced Ner Chanukah sheinicha l'maylam esrim amma. If you put the Ner Chanukah more than 20 amas above the ground, kisula, then it's going to be posel kisuka ukamavul. Just like we find by a sukkah, that if it's 20 amas tall, it's possible for various reasons that it talks about at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah. And just like with a mavri, where you have the koda that you put over there, the horizontal beam that you put over there in order to be able to allow to carry in the mavri, where if it's above 20 amas, it's possible because nobody's going to notice it. The same way, if it's above 20 amas, nobody's going to notice the Ner Chanukah, and therefore it's not going to accomplish Pirsumei Nisa. Tosfos and other Rishonim point out the point at the beginning of Masechta Erevin, when the Gemara also deals with this point, and it says by Erevin the expression is Yemai, that if a person put the koda above twenty amos, he has to lower it. On the other hand, by Sukkah the expression is that a Sukkah that's higher than 20 amos psula. So what's the difference? Why by Mavui does it say Yemayet and by Sukkah it says psula? So one answer the Gemara gives over there is because there's a difference between things Daraisa or Darabanan. By things Daraisa it can say posel, by things Darabanan it can say how you fix it up. So then Tosfos says, Chanukah is also Darabanan. So then according to that, why are we saying psula over here? So Tosfos gives a couple of reasons. First of all, we are comparing it to a Sukkah as well. So therefore we can also use the word psula. Second of all, though, because otherwise it would be very woody. We would have to say that the fact is we have a concept called hadlaka osa mitzvah, Actually, hadlaka osa mitzvah. The mitzvah is to light the menorah in the proper place. You can't have, for example, that you light it in the wrong place and then you move it to the right place. For example, you can't light it above 20 amos and then lower it. If it's set over here, you might, then it would have to give a whole long arichus. So it would have to say you have to put it out and bring it lower and then relight it. So therefore, instead, it just says psula in order to keep things shorter. But again, the other answer was because we're comparing it to a sukkah. And that's the halacha, which is, of course, why you have all the big public menorahs top out at about 30 feet, 32 feet or so, because that's 20 amos, according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, and therefore that would be the maximum height that you could make a menorah. Hadron halacha koinis. We'll stop over here, and Bez Hashem, we'll begin the new parak tomorrow.
Shkayach.